All right. The Bible reading today is found in the Psalms, and it's Psalms 89, 1 to 8. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I was sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in this assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you.
I'd like to begin by reading from a book called Always a Guest by Barbara Brown Taylor. But I need to get ready for it. If you're a teacher, you have to wear one of these on playground duty. So she begins. Greetings all. There are a couple of things you need to know right here at the start, because I'm your flight attendant and we're in for a bumpy ride. The turbulence is predictable, since there are two different weather patterns that always collide on the first Sunday of Advent. The first is a happy high-pressure front. Today is New Year's Day for Christians, the first Sunday of the new year, the new church year, which sets our sights on the birth of the Messiah 4 weeks from now. Good news! The Christ is coming. It's time to get the nursery ready and reorder your priorities, because every urgent thing in your life is about to kneel before the one important thing that wants to be born anew in you. Emmanuel, which is to say the God in you, the God in person sitting next to you, the God with us, above us, below us, and among us, willing to be made known through us, and at the same time willing to become small enough to hold in our arms. The baby's on the way. You can expect a drink to be served on such a flight, but the happy high-pressure front is only one of the strong currents under our wings today. The other is a stormy low-pressure front, causing the captain to see strange things out the window. Christ is still coming, but in a cloud this time. Cabin service has been suspended due to the apocalypse, and we're all sitting in exit rows. You can't remember saying that you would assist in the case of an emergency? I'm afraid it's too late to change seats now. You, me, Emmanuel, we're all buckled in and we're all in this together. The gospel is our wake-up call, and it may take a while for the good news to sink in. Well, at the end of each of her sermons, she gives the dates of when she did that. And that was December 2, 2018. But I can't help feel that it's an excellent description of the year that we have just had. What looked like to be a smooth ride throughout the year turned to be very turbulent. With it came uncertainties and increased levels of anxieties. Also a need and a desire to look for answers. As followers of Jesus, we knew that we could look to him, and did. But reality was, and still is, very tough. And Jesus doesn't tell us to dismiss it. He understood what it meant to feel low. Even from around his own experience, as we look at Easter, the night before he was crucified, he asked to be spared from what was coming next. Luke records, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Yes, he understood how hard things can be. He understands and knows the pain we face in life. He doesn't tell us to get over it, but to live with hope. In John, we read, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." These are the words of Jesus. "You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that was not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." See, it's generally accepted that Luke wrote the books of Luke, the Gospel of Luke and Acts, in the last decades of the first century, which means he lived through what would have been end of the world experiences a couple of times. The crucifixion of Jesus, the executions of Peter, James and Paul, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, Nero's persecution of the early church, and perhaps even the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. Now, Luke wouldn't have been an eyewitness to all of those firsthand, but he definitely would have known about all of them. And this would have felt like doomsday over and over and over again. So what we felt this year is not a new thing at all. So with that in mind, Luke brings to us in the Gospel of Luke the good news of Jesus. He brings Psalm 89 that Madge just read to us to life. He embodies the words of the psalmist. "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations." That was the role of Luke, to tell the gospel story so that generation after generation would know what had happened. "I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself." God says, "I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, that I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations." See, Luke, along with Matthew, brings alive the story of David's descendant coming to live amongst us in humanity, to confirm that royal priesthood, to fulfill the covenant, to fulfill the promise. And as we anticipate the celebrating of that one, the Messiah, we enter into a season of waiting. As Barbara Taylor mentioned in her introduction, this is a season called Advent. So what is Advent? The word comes from the Latin Adventus, and it means coming. During the 4 weeks before Christmas, we looked forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as King and Judge at the end of the time. And to our Christmas celebration of his coming as our Saviour 2,000 years ago. Advent has a dual role. So our theme for Advent is unveiling Christmas. So you see behind me something that is covered up. And today and over the next three Sundays, then Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, a different part of it will be unveiled. During Advent, we are invited to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. to wait in hope for the return of his glory at the end of time and to prepare for the annual celebration of his birth. And we live in challenging times. How comforting to know that we can have hope and reach out to others to share it. So Taylor returns to her flight metaphor. To go back to my flight metaphor for a moment, you might think about the last time you hit some really rough air. Rough enough to make one of the overhead compartments pop open. Maybe, or at least to make you grab your armrest and look around to see if anyone else looks as frightened as you feel. The minute you realize there is nothing you can do about any of this, your priorities change fast. The humanity of the person in the seat next to you becomes as precious to you as your own. His or her survival can become inseparable from yours. Then the plane evens out and you both go back to reading your magazines. But I tell you, there's nothing like big time turbulence to teach you how to pray. You learn about what really matters to you in a moment like that, which has nothing to do with losing your luggage or making it to your next meeting on time. Since Jesus isn't attached to the same things we are, he can take the God view, which is about more than redeeming our individual lives. God means to redeem the world, which is going to require some major teardowns before the global renewal project can go forward. Remember, she wrote that in 2018. And each time I read it, it overwhelms me how relevant it is today. What will we take away from the events of this year? Did we change our thinking about the world, about God, about our priorities? As mentioned in the video, we have an Advent wreath here. And Raphael and Lydia are going to come and light the first purple candle, the candle of hope. Oh, that the heavens would tear open and come down, and that the mountains would quake in your presence. And Mark recounts the words of Jesus. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. The candle of hope represents God's people. Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the hope that we have in Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. We do not know the timing of his return, but the evidence is all around us. It is drawing closer. Not something to be afraid of, but to celebrate. And like John the Baptist crying in the desert, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We need to get ready and to tell others. Christians are not to shy away from the world's pain and despair, especially during the Advent season. On the contrary, it's precisely in the shadows that we are called to light a candle, since that's the place that the light can do most good. It's where it can do most good for ourselves and for others. We need to be the instruments of God to reach out, to share the good news that the Gospels have given us, to speak of the one who came to save the world, the giver of light. To not get caught up in the commercialism, consumerism, the hype, the greed. We need to stop and to prioritize what is the most important in our lives. With this in mind, instead of simply lighting a candle of hope, let us turn our minds first towards specific shadows in our own lives, in our neighbors' lives, and around the world? How will we unveil God's message of hope? On your chair was a card with some suggestions about how you might live this out in a practical way this week. There are some conversation starters around a meal. There's some activities that you can do as an individual, as a family, with friends, with neighbors. Put something into action. Bring hope into your part of the world and beyond. Friends, will you join me in prayer? God of light and hope, you are our shepherd, especially in the valley of shadow of darkness. Show us the way and let our lives glow with the light of your hope. Keep us awake and alert to your coming. Tear open the heavens and let the mountains of despair quake at your presence. Help us to be your light of hope. Come, Jesus, come. Amen.